Technorama episode 661. It's not what you think. Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you very much. If you are a returning guest, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great trying to dig out from the blizzard of 2022.
You guys don't know what snow is. Oh, well, we have an inch of snow. Now, I will grant that you don't have the snow removal equipment of the northern states. So, no, yes, it can be crippling.
As a matter of fact, we have a second home, and in that area, they were saying we would not be able to get to the secondary roads. Not that they necessarily didn't have the equipment; they don't have the staff. COVID and everything, they don't have staff to go out and
clear the roads. Oh, compound problem. Everybody. How much snow did you get in Rock Hill?
In my house, it was really more ice than anything, more ice and sleet that we got. So, it snowed a little bit during the day, but I don't think that was really contributing. But I think up in the, I could see on my webcam, it looked like we had about maybe 8 to 10 inches in some places.
See, ice and snow will take down power lines though, too. I mean, you got to watch the ice and sleet. Snow, you can generally get away with unless it's the wet, heavy stuff. But
yeah, no. And here in my home, most of the power lines, except for outside of my neighborhood, are underground. So, you know, our exposure is a little bit less, but there's still, you know, power lines outside. So anyway, but no, we're fine. We're good so far.
Good, good. All right. We have some feedback. Let's get started with that.
Okie dokie.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
That was Technorama's on YouTube.
Oh.
Waving things in front of the camera people at home can't see. We have an email. We got a last-minute email from listener John, and he says, "Greetings, Chuck Tomasi, brother of Rolo." Well, not really. Brother of Rico, but... and Craig from the House of Step.
Yes, that's right.
I hope this communique finds you both well. We are surviving snowpocalypse of 2022 in the southernmost state of Carolina.
See?
Our town Me has too. Shut down due to several hundred ice cubes on the road. Ice cubes.
Somebody dumped a bowl of ice cubes.
It was hailing the size of dominoes. I have called for a local assistance, but suspect the St. Bernard with the first aid kit with warming spirits will not arrive by the time you read this. One bit of good news. I was able to negotiate a wonderful deal with the local hamburger establishment. I gladly pay on Tuesday. I ordered two hamburgers at double their advertised price. Well, that sounds like a bad deal. But I was able to convince the restaurant to give me a 50% discount, getting them back to normally advertised price. What do you think? I think that sounded like a bait and switch, or what do they call that? A pump and dump?
Pump and dump. I'm sure their stock is reflecting that, too.
Take care, be well, and positive vibes to all of you and your respective clans. Signed, John. Thank you very much. Oh, hey, put away the pre-show banner, please.
Oh, yeah.
Amy said she got a few inches of snow in Omaha, Nebraska. I might be able to.
Where is the banner?
There. It's under brand. You got to put those away.
Oh, brand. I got it.
Yeah. Brand is where those lower third, the homemade ones are.
No.
There. Okay. Ta-da. Sponsored by Cinnamon Applesauce.
That's Shift B. That's Shift B. Okay.
Shift B.
And then, Amy.
Yes.
I'm sure they get a lot of snow. Do you get a lot of snow over there, Amy? I'm curious.
Nebraska,
I assume you would.
Cold a lot, and it's in the dead center of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect. All right. We also have a question of the week. Which TV show started out promising but turned out to be garbage? Oh, good thing we didn't see Saturday Night Karaoke.
What? What? What was that for?
It's a TV show.
Oh. Oh, yeah, right. Let's see. Let me think of one. Too many come to mind.
I'm gonna started out promising and bringing up our answers from our Facebook page. I neglected to socialize it yesterday. I apologize for that.
I forgot to put a link in the show notes, so let's go pull it up.
Yeah, I did too. So we have John Miller Jr. says, I can think of two, Alf and Cavemen. How do you create a TV show based on the Cavemen from the Geico commercials?
Ouch. Well, they tried.
Lone Guys Night says Wheel of Time. And yes, Sweet Steve agrees with that.
Oh,
one.
You know what? I haven't watched that. I guess it's not worth
Sounds
it.
Sounds like, it starts out promising and then just give up. Watch like the first one.
The first one.
Yeah. Steve said, he was expecting Wheel of Time to be something like that. I was expecting it to be something. Also, Beyond the Walking Dead, but that one sucked big time as well. I think I managed one episode. But the Book of Boba Fett, the disappointment, it is a fact.
Oh, come on. I'm actually enjoying it. The last episode was, there were some elements strange with it. But the funny thing is, the last episode was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who did Spy Kids and all those goofy films.
Yeah.
That's the director. I was like, okay. So there were some weird choices in the show. Boba Fett. So I'm hoping that's not the way it is through the whole thing, but I didn't hate it. I didn't really. I was like, okay.
Mike said he got some snow too, 3 to 6-ish inches. And cold.
And by the way,
man, cold in the northern states.
Yeah. Gary Lindris said Lost.
Oh, amen, brother. Heroes.
I think Lost. Yeah, I think the problem with Lost is they lost their way.
They did lose their way. Wasn't that also blamed? You can also blame the writer's strike on that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, a little bit. But I don't think they had a plan when it got so popular. They didn't have an in-game plan.
No, that's the secret to a lot of successful literature and movies is you really need to have the end in mind when you're going to end and what that looks like.
You can only make up so many things as you go through.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling had the final scene or the final plot point of Harry Potter in mind before she even started writing the first book. It's like she knew where she wanted to take that story, and it was done at the end of, let's crush all the Horcruxes. Oh, wait, there's a special one out there. So not spoiling it for anybody in case you missed it.
Oh, the one that time forgot. Yeah.
The land that time forgot.
No, the Horcrux at the time forgot.
Okay. Let's close up the feedback. We'll give you another question of the week at the end of the show.
Wait, what was your show? Hold on.
Yes. Lost, Heroes.
There's Heroes a whole bunch was of them at the top of my list because I was so into that show.
Oh, it killed it. The first and second season. Like, what?
Yeah, I was
this
is really good. Yeah. And it was another show. I don't think they had a direction beyond that. And
Siler, he'd strike the fear in you. He's like, what? This guy's insane. He's cutting people's heads open and messing with their brains.
It had so many problems. See, the other thing about Heroes is I liked, and I wish I'm sure at some point they'd have to kind of explain how it happens, but I liked how people were figuring out that they had powers and they were confused by it and trying to figure, not like, here comes Superman. Oh, he's had powers for years. You know, he knows how to do it. You know, they were trying to figure
it out.
So you
like the Spider-Man origin story where it's like, what? He jumps off the roof without a clue.
Tobey Maguire. Yes, I love that. When he was like, oh, psst, and he just shot a web out in the middle of nowhere trying to figure out how it works. And yeah, I think it was great.
Amy's enjoying the Book of Boba Fett as well. Okay, yes, let's do some really history.
There was one.
Yes.
I don't want to. Since the episode just came out, I don't want to spoil it, but there was one scene that absolutely killed in that show. Maybe I'll talk about it next week, but that really made up for the kind of, not goofy, but it was like kind of weird chase scene later on. But there was a really cool, I know Amy knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'll let it go. All right. I'm not going to want to give it away. The show just,
I know.
Episode just came out.
Craig's not the best at teasers without spoilers.
And then they blew up the Death Star again.
Let's do the history. On this day in history for January 19th, 2022, this is, of course, the 19th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. Easy to figure out, in January, there are 346 days remaining in the year. It was on this date in 1883, I love that show. The first electric lighting system employed overhead wires built by Thomas Edison began service in Roselle, New Jersey. And I'm guessing it was DC current if it was Edison's invention.
Yeah, there was a big thing about that. And I'm going to say Georges Claude patented the neon discharge tube for the use in advertising on this date in 1915.
And Las Vegas was never the same.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
January 19th, 1937, Howard Hughes set a new air record for flying from Los Angeles to New York City in only 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds. That was 1937, people. That was 85 years ago. Pretty amazing if you think about it.
Now, speaking of amazing, almost 72% of all television sets in the U.S. were tuned into I Love Lucy to watch her give birth. Well, not really watch her give birth. They didn't really do that by then, but to have the baby.
It was the storyline, yes.
And so, and that was a big piece of the movie. We were, I think you saw it, too.
Being the Ricardos. Being the Ricardos. Yes.
Yeah.
The next time somebody wants to shoot down an idea that I firmly believe in, I am quoting that, saying Lucy and Ricky thought it was a great idea, and the advertisers and the sponsors didn't, even the executives didn't. And look at this, 72% of all television sets tuned in.
Well, what else was amazing was all the other stats they were given about giving for regular shows. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah, they were like a $60 million show, and if you had a $20 million...
electricity use is lowered or whatever, you know, during those times.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was also on this date in 1978 that the last Volkswagen Beetle made in Germany left VW's plant in Emden. Beetle production, of course, in Latin America continued until 2003.
Yeah, which is funny because that's when I bought my new Beetle. I wish I had the money. I was thinking it'd be cool if I had a new old Beetle and a new Beetle. Anyway, that same date in 1983, speaking of Apple, the Apple Lisa, wait, not speaking of Apple, never mind. Well, speaking of Apple, the Apple Lisa, the first commercial personal computer from Apple Inc. to have a graphical user interface and a computer mouse, it was announced.
January 19th, 1986, the first IBM PC computer virus was released into the wild. It was a boot sector virus dubbed Brian. Brain. Sorry.
Copyright Brian.
Copyright. Brian, we're going to go after that guy. It was created by Farooq Alvi Brothers in Lahore, Pakistan. Reportedly, they built it to deter unauthorized copying of the software they had written. Nice job, boys.
Farooq translates into Brian. And that same date in 1999, Prince sang and partied like it was...
No.
In 1999, British Aerospace agreed to acquire the defense subsidiary of the General Electric Company, PLC, forming BAE Systems in November of 1999, which I just said it was 1999.
Wow, I thought BAE was around a lot longer than that, but okay. Happy birthday goes out of the state to Scottish English chemist and engineer James Watt? Born on this date in 1736.
Edgar Allan Poe, American story writer, poet, critic, was born on the same date in 1809.
He had a love interest that was born on the same date 6 years earlier. I thought that was interesting. You know, hey, my girlfriend and I were born on the same date, sort of. Yeah. Born, it would have been easy to remember your wife's birthday.
That's right.
Born January 19th, 1813, English engineer and businessman Henry Bessemer. Oh, Mr. Steelman. Yeah.
And French painter Paul Cézanne.
Cézanne.
Born 183 years ago today.
Craig goes to museums all the time and art galleries. Born January 19th, 1851, Dutch astronomer and academic Jacobus Kepton.
And Jean Stapleton, wife of Archie Bunker,
the
American actress and singer, was born 99 years ago today.
Wow, she was almost the same age as Betty White. American priest, astronomer, and theologian George Coyne was born 89 years ago today.
And John Lyons, Australian computer scientist and academic, was born on that same date in 1937.
Janis Joplin, the American singer-songwriter, was born 79 years ago today.
An American singer, songwriter, and actress, philanthropist, and the list goes on. Dolly Parton was born on this date in 1946.
Robert Palmer was born 73 years ago today.
And American actor, singer, Desi Arnaz is 69 today.
No, Desi Arnaz Jr. He was the one who was born on TV in 1953. Oh, this better be his birthday.
Yeah, he was the one just talking about him being born. 69.
68 years ago today. Katie Sagal. Yes, Leela from Futurama and Peg from
Married with
Children. Thank you. Last one. Wrap it up. Music's going to turn on us.
And last but not least, yeah, also born on the same date in 1959, American computer scientist and programmer Dennis Cooper.
All right, there we go. We're going to get these birthdays in after the music, just because timing. Bump. And while Craig goes and finds the banner, the proper ticker, whatever, for the birthdays, I'm going to read you our listener birthdays for this week. January 21st, Michael Rabelais. 22nd, TAW02294. Why aren't you at your post? Kathy Luke from Illinois is on the 23rd, along with Chris Moody from Podio Media Chat and Keith Lane from TG Geeks. We have three birthdays on the 23rd. Happy birthday, Keith. And Cynthia Fry on the 24th, and some guy named Craig Stepp on the 25th.
Yeah, jerk.
If you see any of these people, slap them upside the head, will you?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You jumped ahead on the birthday calendar, didn't you?
No, that's the show is from the 19th through the 25th. That's next week.
Oh, yes, right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Don't tell me how to do my
job. Well, thank you for mentioning my birthday. I appreciate that.
That's the way it was on this day in history for January 19th, 2021. I've screwed this job up so many times. I know where the pitfalls are and how to avoid them. So
how to jump into them,
I think.
Did
you get that link on the screen? Because if I didn't say it yet, but if you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, you go over to truckchat.com/birthday. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. People have also put their spouses, their children, their old devices that have died, anniversaries. Yes, it's a wonderful place to go. Let's do some news.
Good news, everyone.
Well, it's interesting news. I don't know if you call it good news, but scientists were exploring the Weddell Sea way down south by Antarctica, south of everything except Antarctica. Yeah. And they were looking for doing some temperature readings, because there's this upwelling of warm water. And when I say warm, I mean relatively warm compared to the other water around there. It's like, about...
It's a degree warmer.
Than freezing. Yeah, pretty much. Right. It was like 2 degrees C. And that was rich in, I believe it was zooplankton. And they went, oh, this is interesting. And while they were doing that, they were also mapping and taking pictures of the bottom of the ocean floor. And they came across these nests, ice fish. Let's see if I can pronounce this. They said the nests were modest bowls carved in the mud on the seafloor by the notothenioid ice fish.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is, and they had tons of these. They said several orders of magnitude more than they had expected, which I'm picturing this thing covering just this ginormous area, but they said it had this distinct border on it. When It stopped, kind of like when you see a pack of penguins all huddled together. Like, you don't see three or four that are kind of hanging outside this perimeter, or they'll freeze. Well, these fish nests were the same way, because that's where the warm water upwelling is. If there weren't no warm water, there weren't no fish. So it was really kind of interesting, the article that went in here, and they said, we really didn't know these things were down there. They're weird-looking fish. They have a really long... kind of a narrow head, almost an arrow-shaped head, and then a long tail, and almost
reminds me of a gar.
The fins, yeah, kind of. The fins look more like a ray or a skate that you know, kind of fan out from the middle. They're set back. It very bizarre looking fish.
Yeah, I said gar, but not a gar, but it has a long nose to it.
Yeah. So very curious. Nice to know that our oceans aren't completely devoid of life.
Are they tasty? There's 60 million of them down there.
Everything is really slow in the cold water and deep. They didn't say how deep this was, or maybe I missed it. But yeah, cool stuff. Nursery of, it was a nursery to boot. That's what the depressions in the mud were. Is
right.
And then about every 10 inches, they'd have another circle with a fish in it. One parent guarding, what was it, like 6,800 eggs per nest? It was just ludicrous, which makes me wonder if there's that many fish and there's that many eggs, something is eating these eggs. Now, they did say when the fish hatch, they kind of ride this upwell of warm water and eat the plankton, and then they come back down when they're mature and build another nest. So, realty must be...
Cycle of life.
Well, the property values must be tough if there's already a gazillion nests down there every 10 inches apart. Say, hey,
why are you trying to sell some property that's in almost frozen water?
That's really
ain't gonna happen.
It's actually really cheap. Nobody wants the warm. They want the warm water, not the cold water.
It's a seller's market, I guess, but... All right, so let's talk about the astrophysicist released the biggest map of the universe yet.
It's the scale on the side says 1 inch equals 1 inch.
Right.
Sorry, that's an old Stephen Wright joke.
You're only this far away from the sun.
I bought a map of my town and it said 1 inch equals 1 inch. People say, where do you live? I say H6.
Yeah, right. Now, here's the funny thing. There is a tie-in to a thread that's been going on in our show already tonight. So anyway, I'm going to start off with the article. It says, after just 7 months, a huge team of scientists who work with dark energy spectrographic instrument have already mapped a larger swath of the cosmos than all other 3D surveys combined. And since they're only 10% of the way through their five-year mission, they're exploring the universe. There's much more to come. DESI, pronounced like Desi Arnaz's name.
Wow, that's three times.
That's three times. So, has revealed a spectacular cosmic web of more than 7.5 million galaxies, and it will scan up to 40 million. The instrument is funded by the U.S. Department of Energy and installed at the Nicholas U. Mayall 4-meter telescope at Kitt Peak National Observatory near Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. So you can just pop over there and check it out.
Hey, I want to see your map. And that's like from a ground-based one. Imagine what they're going to get when they get James Webb online. It's on its way. It's on its way.
Yeah. When is that supposed to go live?
I think they were supposed to be getting images. What was it? 6 months after launch. So it'll be
6 months.
Well, it's got to get out to one of the Lagrange points, L2. I can't remember the details. Mm-hmm. And then they've got to get the instrumentation online. It's a, you got to test everything before you put it in production.
Yeah. Well, the graphical map looks really cool. It's a three-dimensional, really CT scan of the universe is what they say. The universe is in the lower left. I don't know if you got an image of that up on the screen or. To show, but you can see kind of it goes out in a cone pattern going out, and it talks about distance and stuff. So anyway, that's pretty cool. It's amazing that they're able to map the universe like that. And
timeline of the James Webb Space Telescope. It launched Christmas Day, 2021. Yes, we all know that. Mm-hmm. Oh my,
it's in orbit now.
It just has up to liftoff after launch plans. For 29 days after launch, James Webb Space Telescope takes a 1.51 million kilometer trip towards L2 halo orbit. For 6 months, JWST prepares for full-time space operation. This includes letting everything cool down, calibrating the mirrors and instruments, etc. 5-year science mission starts after 6 months. 10 years of operational goal. And enough fuel to maintain the halo orbit for at least 10 years is included. There you go.
Cool.
Wait, I thought the whole point was of L2 was that you didn't need fuel. It just kind of rode along with the gravity. And
that's probably why they got enough fuel in there for 10 years.
We didn't once bring they any. Get there.
No, once they get there, just kind of ride the wave.
Alrighty.
Anyway, I love how they how these people are figuring out how to map the universe. It's like I would have had no idea of where to start, except for like with one dot, two dot, you know, and kind of.
There's one.
Yeah.
Well, and you've got to map this thing in 3D too. You can't just, you know, have the sphere above your head.
It's a sphere all around you.
Right, but there's different things at different distances. So.
Right.
Let's do another story. I'm sure many of you have already heard about the man who received a pig heart implant.
Of course.
Yeah, the replacement pig heart. And the big problem with, I mean, this has been a goal for decades, that doctors wanted to use animal parts, pigs being very close organs to humans. They want to use those for organ replacements rather than relying on a donor list, or potentially change the donor list from opt-in to opt-out. But there's all kinds of ethical questions going on here. The animal rights people. Well, as of January 10th, as was made popular on the news, this man, he's 57 years old, although he looks a lot older in his post-op picture.
Yeah.
He looks like he's about 87.
Yeah.
But you look at pictures just taken a few months ago before. He was going along just fine until this past October when he was having chest pains. And I don't know what the exact diagnosis was, but they said, you need a new heart really fast. And he was put on the donor list, but he wasn't taking his medications per the doctor's orders. He wasn't really following instructions that well. And they said, you know, people like that don't make good heart donor patients anyway, because you got to take a lot of anti-rejection drugs. Even if it's a family member, you still got to take a lot of anti-rejection drugs. And they said, well, how'd you like to be the first pig heart recipient? We've been doing some testing and it went pretty well. You know, this guy back in September, we learned a lot of lessons from.
I like pulled pork barbecue. Why not?
He said it wasn't my first choice, but the fact that if he didn't have the heart transplant, he never would have left the hospital, or he probably would have left it in a box. But he said, well, if that's the choice, I'll give it a try. God's watching over me. And he did. This article is full of statistics. More than 100,000 people sit on organ transplant wait lists, suffering terrible symptoms and side effects. And about 6,000 of them die every year waiting in vain for someone else's tragedy to provide them with a kidney or heart lung. Now, I mentioned the animal rights activists. They're saying, hey, you know, that's not right that you can, you know, you're raising pigs. Now, they had to genetically engineer some proteins in the pig's tissue. You can't just take any old pig heart, or we would have done that decades ago. That's how we found out that, hey, you know, this rejection thing isn't working out. But after 3 days, he was still doing all right. Now, it is kind of touch and go as we go. And the initial rejection is different than the rejection that you're going to get in a few weeks or a few months. But he's out of the most dangerous part of this. And last I heard, he was still hanging in there.
Wasn't the reason this is a genetically altered pig so that there was not rejection?
Well,
that was the
greatly
point, wasn't it?
Decreases it. We're not going to say there's no rejection, but
well, if he's not taking his medication, that's kind of people. It bugs me a little bit because you're asking for to be put on a list for a replacement organ.
Yep,
which. You probably could have prevented some of this by doing what you were asked to do.
My first thing is, why don't we give him an artificial heart? And they said he was ineligible for an artificial heart pump because of an uncontrollable arrhythmia. So he really only had one choice. But even if I only survive for a limited time, they're still going to learn a lot and I'll leave a legacy based on my lesson. Because if nobody says, hey, I want a pig heart, we're not going
to
learn.
I want my legacy to be, oh, I didn't do what I was asked to do with my health.
Yep. So it's It's a step in a new direction. I mean,
it is a step forward, and I'll give him that. I think it's good.
Hey, Craig, in about 30 years, you and I are probably going to be good. Who knows? Maybe in 6 months, we may need a kidney and go, give me one of those pig kidneys. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure we won't be walking up to the butcher counter and doing that. But
guess what, Chuck? Good luck. It's good luck that you're actually a match. So I need a kidney.
Well, you know, if we're cutting back on eating meat, that means there's going to be a surplus of pigs, right?
No, there'd be a surplus of pig hearts.
That's if you ate the pig.
Wait a minute. We're cutting back on meat.
We're using every part of the animal. Yes. Cutting back on meat because of, like, bovine methane.
Wait, you guys are?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm asking. I'm trying to figure out what
we're not 100% vegan vegetarian right now, but we are migrating in that direction. You know what? I feel pretty darn good about it.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, there's nothing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I was trying to figure out what you meant, like society as a whole or yourself. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Oh, society as a whole, definitely. Right, I just saw a commercial for KFC. They've got plant-based chicken nuggets. Saw another ad for...
Have you tried them?
Haven't tried those specifically.
I'm curious.
I'm curious to try them, but I
don't have high hopes. Let's put it that way.
I've seen several ads for plant-based meat products.
Burger King does the Impossible Whopper.
Yep.
Have you tried one of those?
No.
Then you're not doing it.
But we just had... was it Impossible? I can't remember if it was Impossible or Beyond. One of the two. We had tacos tonight. Mm-hmm. They were made out of that meat. You know, it's like the stuff that makes the taco is really the seasoning. You're probably going to have chopped up carrots for all I care.
Yeah. Well, they were.
It's the taco seasoning that makes the tacos for me.
Yeah. Right.
That and a little salsa.
Well, you know, I've made things when I did keto for about 3 years. And there were some things I'm like, it just doesn't taste right. But once you just season it right, it's as good as anything else. But I was doing my part with meat, though. I was on the keto diet.
Yeah, that's not really moving the needle in the right direction, Craig.
No, but things like, for example, some of the breads that I would make, the first time I made it, I was like, okay, I'm not kidding anybody by saying this is bread. But after a while, I got to where I could season it just right. It's perfectly serviceable. Anyway.
Let's give a shout out to the chat room. We have several people in here.
By the way, John Miller Jr. says Whopper is the Impossible Whopper is fantastic.
I haven't had a whole lot of fast food in a long, long time.
Oh, I haven't gone to fast food in a long time either, but I'd be willing to try it.
Just for comparison.
She says she likes them too.
Oh, good. Good. So, hey, I'm not knocking
anybody for at all for being vegan or cutting back. I'm just cutting up with Chuck a little bit, but at the same time, no, I think it's fine. I'm not ready to cut back too much.
When you find out,
I do support
a
local farmer there.
What did I hear? Methane is like 10 times worse than CO2 in the atmosphere as far as a greenhouse gas. And not only that, but the biodiversity, we're dedicating a lot of resources to land for farm animals. And just the amount of stuff you have to grow to get that animal to market so that we can have a burger on our table. Like that it's just this, the economics of that are totally upside down.
I understand. So I understand that.
I do say,
by the way, whatever it's worth, I understand that there's still cows and they're still producing methane, but I do support a local farmer here for all my meats. So I help feed their family, you know, by doing my part. So there's something to be said for that as well.
There is. You know, everybody's got to make a living at something. But it's almost like recycling. At first, when we started recycling, it's like, oh, I don't want to separate the glass from the paper from the blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
Yeah, and it took a long time to change that culture to where you know, you feel guilty throwing something away now. It's like, man, this is going in the landfill. There's got to be a better way to do this.
Yeah, and you know what? Okay, let's talk about that for just one second. Because my town has made some changes to the recycling program. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. Program. They actually were going to do away with it to begin with, but I have a a large can that I throw all the recycled stuff in there. It's very easy for us. They were going to get away with that. And then there was a lot of blowback to bring it to not do that. Fine. Okay. But you have to throw away glass in your trash. They don't recycle glass anymore. The reason is because people do put cigarette butts and all that kind of crap in there. So then when you try to break it down, you always have all this other crap in there. I think it's hard for them to actually break it down into something usable, which.
That sounds like public education, though. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I don't know what to tell you. I have a beer. I have to put the bottle in the trash can. I can't put it in the recycle.
But you're not the one putting cigarette butts in there.
Like, no.
You say when you recycle this stuff, it's got to be clean. Now, if you're the idiot putting cigarette butts in there, then you throw it away, but don't ruin the program for the rest of the people.
Yeah. I understand.
Because otherwise you could say, oh, we're not taking paper because people don't take their staples out.
But see, okay, aside from...
There's always a reason to say no to the good things.
Well, I was kind of surprised because when I first thought about it, I figured that glass, not thinking about stuff being, you know, in the bottle, just glass in general, I thought it'd be the easiest thing to crush and break down and reuse somehow. But apparently, So there's I don't know why they did that.
Last I heard, they made it
kind of weird.
The economics of aluminum, it was cheaper to get the recycled aluminum than to go manufacture new aluminum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That was a big win. Cans and stuff. And I remember finding those when I was a kid. Oh, here you go. John Miller says he'll switch out meat free from time to time. For a few of his former colleagues from a company I used to work with, turned me on to meat-free alternatives. Yeah, there's plenty of them. Yeah. And they have gotten better, and there's going to be more because of Beyond Meat and Impossible Meat and all that stuff. So, yeah. And see, check. I thought, how many of you, raise your hands, think that KFC was never going to come out with you never thought they would come out with a meat-free option, right? I mean, it's chicken, but.
Yep.
I'm curious to try it. I'll try it. Yeah.
So we were about to start the chat room. Mike, John, and Amy are in the chat room. And if you want to join us in the chat room, banner time. Yeah. Join us Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern on Facebook and YouTube. You can go to Facebook or YouTube and look up Technorama Podcast.
Wait, birthday contact us. What?
Chat room. Contact us. Nope.
Oh, contact us. Those are out of order.
No, it's not contact us. It's the chat room. I thought we had a banner for the chat room. Didn't we have a...
No, we don't.
You're under brand again. Look.
There isn't one. Support the show. Birthday calendar. Live. There's this.
There's that. That's contact us. We're getting there. All right.
I don't see one for...
All right, then we don't have one. Well, maybe we should make one. Okay. Maybe that's just the part where we tell them.
Yeah, just tell them. That's it.
9:30 Eastern, Sunday nights, Facebook and YouTube. Let's move on.
Wait, we didn't shout out to the tavern. Well,
yes, we did. You were hunting around for the things.
Okay.
60 years ago, NASA scientists found out that women would actually be better astronauts, and the science of that was never published. This is the looks like somebody caught on to the this is from Real Clear Science. When did they publish this? Because this sounds like they just watched Netflix.
January 8th,
2022. And Netflix has a program called Mercury 13 that I encourage you to watch that has all the facts in here. But the short answer is in the late 50s, this guy named Dr. W. Randolph Lovelace II and Brigadier General Don D. Flickinger. I barely knew her. Maybe
Flickinger.
It's Flickinger.
Flickinger.
The chair and vice chair of NASA Special Committee on Life Sciences. Well, they said, hey, let's do this study because, you know, we've got a lot of women candidates out there. And they actually said, you know, when it comes to stress of isolation in space, et cetera, the women are actually showing better results. But for PR reasons, they thought, well, maybe we better not. And they picked a bunch of homogenous white men to do all this yeah. stuff.
It's called job security. Is what the, that's what
the, here's a on. Here's a quote from. It says, first, there would be a reduction in the propulsion fuel required to send the rocket's load into space, as women were lighter and would require less oxygen than men.
Yeah,
second,
they have hollow bones. They have hollow bones like birds.
No, they don't. If they were birds, they could fly to space. Second, women were known to have fewer heart attacks than men. Third, the internal reproductive system of the female was thought to be less susceptible to radiation than that of the male. I don't know if I buy that one, but we'll see. Finally, okay. there were preliminary data available suggesting that women could outperform men in enduring cramped spaces and withstanding prolonged isolation. And they talked to one of these ladies on the Netflix special that said, you know, when they put us in the isolation chamber, they wanted to see, you know, how long you could handle this total, you know, no noise, no stress. The water was holding you in kind of neutral gravity. And, right. and the men would last like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. This one lady was in there for like 9 hours. She goes, this is better than being at the spa.
I was thinking, I can hear my wife now. Nobody's asking me for anything. I'll right. just sit here and enjoy
it. The kids. But unfortunately, their idea was smooshed when President Dwight Eisenhower deemed that astronaut candidates should be recruited only from the ranks of military fighter jet test pilots. And at the time, women were barred from that role. So it was a biased candidate program. Later, I think it was the 60s, women were allowed to be test pilots. And you know what's even stranger is women were flying fighter jets. They were flying them from the factory to the Air Force bases where they were deployed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they had a job. Yeah. They were flying, and they were flying everybody. They just weren't in those test fighters, and they weren't in combat situations as many of these other guys were. So it's look, really a sad I've seen page my, in history.
I'm sure you can say the same thing, Chuck. I've seen my wife and my mom do extraordinary things with little to no resources. I would have no reservation sending a woman into space.
Imagine Apollo 13. They would have fixed it themselves. They wouldn't have needed the group on the ground to duct tape this.
Hold on,
box.
Give us 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got it done.
Yeah.
You guys just aren't thinking outside of the box. We made the box. All right. Yeah. So it's an interesting story. The one of the candidates was actually Wally Funk, the woman who went up yes. in Bezos's ship, the white-haired woman that I think she's now the oldest. Or did Shatner yeah. break that record? I forgot but she's the oldest female in space. That's
right.
That's for certain.
Which I thought, I did think that was great that she was able to go up there and experience space for, even though it was a limited time, to be able to do that. I think that was fantastic.
Yep. All right, let's give a thanks to our patrons. We are moving along in this show. So right. Thank you very much to our patrons. This show is brought to you by you. That's right. You're the people who contribute to the show with as little as a dollar per episode to keep the bills paid, the lights on, the bandwidth going. Thank you very much, Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown. It's an alliteration thing going on here in a sec. Chris MC, right. Dandy Man Coyer, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros. Thank you, John Clifford, John Noble, and Jorga Schrauen. We get onto the K, L, and M section. Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, Chris Martinez. That didn't start with a K. Saturday Morning Media, and then the honor roll of Steve's. Stephen Wishy, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and Steve London. Thank you very much, Craig. We need a banner for the video participants. And as little as a dollar a show, you not only get your name enshrined on the show, but you also get an episode, which we record right after we record this one, but it comes out the very next day. Craig and I have these deep philosophical discussions. It's a side of us you have never heard before. And if you're not subscribed, you're missing out. Well, sometimes it's just inane babble.
I think even the president wants to hear what we have to talk about. It's so deep.
There's a special congressional subcommittee that's scratching up some funding for us as we speak.
We've solved so many world problems. You know, world leaders are trying to get in, but they can't unless they give us a couple bucks.
That's right. Special RSS feed just for you. Thank you very much to everyone who contributes. And we have some plans coming up in 2022. Craig and I just had a special subcommittee of our own before the cameras roll in.
Sub-meeting.
What are we talking about? What are we laughing about? All right, let's get the Imperial.
You weren't in the meeting. Well, I mean, you were, but they weren't. Never mind.
We don't know who had the action items, but something happened.
Okay. Oh, I think we know who got the action items.
It's like at work. Hey, I have an idea. They say, great, run with it.
Or I'm sorry, I'm late to the meeting, but you got all the action items.
Fail fast. All right, we've had some shows / movies to talk about in our Pass Me the Remote segment. Craig, why don't you go first?
All right, so I'm going to shock you. All right, I'm going to shock you, Chuck. I watched this movie, and I did not enjoy it.
The Eternals?
It was
really.
It was
I heard
the
good
Eternals.
Things about that.
I plan on rewatching it.
Okay.
But it just didn't capture me. I enjoyed. Now, let's be clear. Marvel is like the Pixar of movies. What the? Even the worst Marvel film is not a terrible film. You know, they're all pretty good. This one just didn't capture me. There was maybe it was just I was trying. I'm not familiar with the characters from the, you know, the comic legacy. So a lot of the characters I was trying to learn, I was trying to follow along. There were a lot of flashbacks. And I was like, even though they would say the date or when the flashback was happening, I don't know, it just kind of lost me. So
okay.
The movie didn't really speak to me, but I did see a lot of the connections that they were trying to make with other films. So I'm going to try watching it again, see if it resonates a little bit better, but it just didn't do it for me. And, you know, it's not a terrible, it's just didn't work for me.
Didn't resonate. That's how I feel about a few shows too. But then, you know, you came along later and said, no, you really got to watch it again. Or T. Yeah. Morris will say, hey, keep going till you get to this point and you
push through.
Sometimes you got to push through, but,
and Churchill said, you know, if you're going through hell, keep going.
If you're going through hell, stop at the gift shop on your way out.
That's right.
That's my motto.
Right.
All right. I'll take one, and then we'll come back to yours for the third one. How's that sound? So yep. Netflix has a series called Roman Empire, and I have watched the first two seasons. I had to remind myself because it came up and said, hey, new episodes. I went, really? This sounds intriguing. I'd love to watch it. And sometimes on Netflix, you know how they start with the latest season? And they're right. Like, even if you're watching it for the first time, you know, they don't start out with season one, episode one. They start out with season latest, episode one. Go, what? Why are we watching this backwards?
Yeah.
Like, who thought that was ever a good idea? Well, they started me on season three, episode one, because I had already watched. I even went into the episodes list going, and it's all red lines going, oh, yeah, I do remember this now. They talk about the history, and they've got some reenactments and some characters and some CG that really makes this come to life. They talked about Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar, and season three starts, it's centered around Caligula. Now, he was not the heir of one of the existing emperors. Tiberius was on the throne. Yes, Tiberius, as in James Tiberius Kirk. Yes, James T. Kirk was a Roman emperor. Well, the only predecessor to Tiberius was Augustus, and everybody loved Augustus because he united everybody in the Italian states and the Roman states, and expanded the empire. Tiberius comes along, and he was kind of a do-nothing. He didn't want to rock the boat. And then, to make things worse, he goes into self-exile on the island of Capri, which is south of Italy and off the coast, not as far as Sicily. Yep. And he was trying to run the empire by proxy. Didn't work. He had a grandson who was too young. It's just a very fascinating story. Well, Caligula was actually the son of a very famous general, or very popular general, named Germanicus. Germanicus is the emperor we never got because he was mysteriously killed. Some say he was poisoned. And Caligula was maybe about 10 at this time. And they then his mom starts spouting off about this is a conspiracy, he was poisoned, blah, blah, blah. And they came after his family. They didn't get him.
Right.
And then he's in his late teens, and Tiberius says, send for Caligula. And he's brought to Capri for years, like 6 years. It's just this great story about how did he become emperor if he wasn't in line to become emperor? And if he was, and his dad was killed, like, I didn't know all this stuff. Now, The turning point is when he was supposedly poisoned but survived and became very paranoid. That's when the decline went. His first 7 or so months, great time, man. Everybody loved Caligula. But his name is not remembered in the fondest of terms, kind of like Richard Nixon. You know, when people think of Nixon, they don't think of the great things he did. So
right.
Anyway, I am really enjoying this. I happen to love historical docuseries, anything that brings the past to life. I'm all over it.
So is this a documentary, or is it just a drama kind of thing?
It is a documentary. Well, it's based on the facts that we know. We have a lot of the records from that time. It's not a made up artificial reality. It is as close to the facts as we get them.
Mm-hmm. So, all right.
What else have you seen?
Well, speaking of artificial reality, I did watch the Jeff Epstein Filthy Rich on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that come up on my playlist. I'm not brave enough to dig into that.
Oh, I thought you. I was going to ask you, was that one that you watched before? I couldn't remember.
Haven't watched that one. No.
Okay. So was it 4 episodes? And it talks about him, where his money came from, and a lot of backstory about him. And then, of course, you bring in the people that were wronged by him, and you start learning their stories and what happened. And then, of course, all the way to the downfall where, spoiler alert, he died. You know, he killed himself. But
did he really kill himself?
Yeah. Well, you know what? After watching this, I wonder, because there was a point when he got basically he admitted guilt in court, and then they sentenced him to like 18 months in jail.
Yeah.
Which was in this ridiculous area. I mean, he was getting special treatment. And then the government gave him basically immunity for other things and the people around him, which was way unusual. Why would they do that?
Because he's rich.
I think it was the people that he was involved with that were in his orbit, you know. So of course the government turned that over and said, no, even the accusers should be allowed to have their day in court. And it was a law. It is law. So that all that was thrown out. The victims should be able to be heard. It was like I forget the name of the act. It was like CV something. It's an older act that where accusers can have their day in court, their say about the outcome, which was super light. Anyway, so that turned around. It looked like he was about to, his life was pretty much over because he's sitting in jail, and that's when he killed himself. Now, I started thinking, because now, as in today, they're about to release the people that were not named, that should be named. Some of the people that were involved with him. And could it be a politician? I don't know. We'll have to see. But that's about to happen because Maxwell is not giving them immunity anymore. From her side. So anyway, so my thought was, yeah, okay, he killed himself. But did one of those people that were also implicated maybe thought, well, they could kind of shut this all down. If they kill him, then they won't have a court case.
Who's making money off of this? I mean, obviously Netflix is making some money, but somebody in the Epstein sphere had to give rights to the story. I just feels like it's supporting the wrong thing. It's like we're glorifying the guilty at this point. That's why I don't want to watch it.
No, you need.
I don't want to support.
If you watch it, you're not. They're not glorifying the guilty. They are not. As a matter of fact, they're shining a light on it. I think so.
Okay.
So that's what. Aside from who's making money from Netflix, I don't know. But as far as him dying. Whether he was intentional or for himself or mm-hmm. somebody else did it, I think it throws enough doubt in. I don't know. And they had a doctor talking about some of the injuries that he had from the hanging, and it wasn't consistent with an injury from hanging. So, so then it's still who knows? I don't know. I don't know if we'll know the whole story, but they gave the victims a lot of light, and they explained a lot of what happened. So I thought it was a fascinating story, and to see that, all and right. to see the island that they were on. See, here's the, as far as somebody having some interest in getting him out of the way is the people that were not going to be shown in court. You know,
mm-hmm.
could it be Bill Clinton? I don't know. Could it be Kevin Spacey? I don't know.
Well, we know Prince too. Andrew was just stripped of some,
Prince Andrew, yes, and he was in there too.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about that. So it goes deep. It goes deep, and that's why he got that immunity.
Nobody's above the law.
I mean, you'd like to think that, but I don't know.
All right, let's move on, and we'll finish up with Geek Library because this show is running long. So we're
okay.
Geek Library here. Thanks for sharing. For you Star Wars fans out there, we do have something fun for you in the Geek Library. It is the Star Wars Cantina on guitars. Two acoustical guitars. Yeah. We're not going to play it because it is on YouTube and they licensed it and credited it and everything. But it is a lot of fun. Short little ditty.
They do a good job with it. I thought it was it was a nice listen.
It was a good listen. As I listened to it, something was trying to come to mind that I just couldn't put my finger on. It wasn't like a flamenco thing where you think, oh, this belongs in a Mexican restaurant, but it was something like that. I just, it's like, this is bringing my mind somewhere, but I couldn't nail it down. Obviously you could hear the cantina music in the guitars, but the way it was presented just felt like the style of something else. And maybe somebody can help me out and identify what that was. We also have another article in here about a developer who 5 years ago wrote a Wordle app. If you haven't heard of Wordle, I didn't hear about it until about 3 days ago. It's what did Donna say? It was like one of those board games that it already exists. This game has been around for a long time. Where you've got five letter words.
Scrabble?
No, not Scrabble. That's
five letter words. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, she said the name and I went, oh yeah, that's what it's like. I can't remember the name of the game, but you're given a limited amount of guesses to guess what it is. And for every time you put down letters, they say, oh, this is the right letter, but in the wrong position. Or this is the right letter in the right position. Right. Or this is completely bogus. Today's word, I did get in three guesses. I'm so proud of myself. I have seen
Wordle showing up on my Facebook feed. And I'm like,
yes.
The other day, I was like, what the heck is going on now?
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. I'm not normally one that's big on these word games, but it's, if it's one of these games that, like crosswords, where if you play them, they can get under your skin and fight off dementia, is what I'm told. Mm-hmm. But the website has been around for a little while, but this guy came out with an app 5 years ago that did the same thing. And he's saying, well, some of the reviews on there were, oh, you're just making money off of this. And there are some legit people that are trying to put out Wordle apps and they can't do it because they're not this website that apparently owns the game. It's like, you can't repurpose somebody else's IP. Well, he's saying, I was first. You can't tell me to take it down. So what he's done is said, well, I'm just going to, he came up with this thing 5 years ago and the upload, or the downloads are going, blip, blip, blip on the radar. And all of a sudden, spike. He's getting like 100,000 or 200,000
5 years later. Yeah.
100,000 or 200,000 downloads a day. Now he said, I'm going to donate the money to charity. So that's a very noble cause of his.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, I mean, even if he got like 5 cents out of the app, you know, 100,000 downloads at 5 cents is what, about $20,000? No.
Yeah.
No, I did that wrong. I went the wrong way.
5 cents.
It's a 20th of $100,000, $5,000.
It's money.
It's money.
Anyway, because of his the success of his app, unintended as it may be, he's donating that money, which I thought was great.
Yep. Yep. Good on him for that.
So it was worth a mention, you know.
Check it out over at GameSpot for that. Mike Robeson just wants to hangman. Did you ever write a hangman app?
Oh my gosh, yeah, on the Apple, as a matter of fact.
I just put that up there, dude.
Oh, sorry. I was on the other screen.
Pay attention.
Yeah, I did that on the Apple back in school when there was an Apple IIe Apple IIe in the classroom.
Hardest part about that was, how do you put text and graphics together?
Yeah. I think I even drew the letters, which was kind of a pain.
I as soon as I found out.
Used characters to draw the person is what I meant to say.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And the stick man hangman looked pretty awful.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Got me really curious, because now I want to go look in my box of floppy disks over there and see if I can find it.
Yeah. I had a math teacher that was very supportive of my computer habits. And she, when I got finished my work, she'd say, you can go over there and, you know, program. So I go over there and start hacking away on the computer. I loved it.
That's how you get good at it. You got to have a personal investment in something. All right, here we go. Here's our question of the week. If the internet existed 100 years ago in the 1920s, what kinds of questions would people be searching for, aka Google?
How to use a bread slicer.
No, the answer's so obvious. It was during Prohibition. It's how do you make bathtub gin?
How to write a penny farthing.
You don't. They ride you.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to know that, dear listener. We're going to put this up on social media next weekend and see what you come back with. It's going to be creative. Speaking of 1920s, I have been working on my Roaring Twenties cosplay for the Star Trek cruise that's coming up. And it's amazing. When I started thinking about it, I actually owned a lot of these pieces already. So I went out and bought a new fedora, even though I have some other fedoras that may have worked. They weren't what I wanted. I'm kind of a hat snob. I already had the shirt. I already had a waistcoat. I already had a bow tie. I just had to buy some arm garters, which were optional, but I thought they'd make it better. And I bought some spats. Never even knew how to put spats on. So I really bought like three things. Like, dang, this looks pretty darn good. So
it's funny.
Who is Betty White? That's what they would have been Googling for. she got her career going.
The last Google search in 1929, is the Great Depression real or not?
No, that would have been 1929. They would have been getting that at the end of the 20s.
The last Google search in 29.
Before Google went under.
Yeah. The first time. That's right.
All righty. So there you have it. We're going to get that question up for you this weekend. We've got a Patreon show to record, but until then, we're going to sign off. Thank you once again, Craig, for all the help in finding the stories and doing the show notes.
Thank you, Chuck. I did my part ignoring the banners as I put them up.
We're working on it. It's a new job responsibility. And thank you, dear listener, a dear viewer, if you happen to be around live. Remember, Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time. We'd love to hear from you. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. 707-530-CHAT is an easy way to remember that. Or technorama@chuckchat.com. Email us. We are looking at ways, if you listen to Evoterra, we're looking at ways to make reaching out and feedback loop even easier than ever before. So we'll let you know how that comes along. Maybe that's a 2022
I think the word you're looking for is mandatory.
Until next time, Craig, give me a binary high five.
All right, 101. Thank you. See ya. Bye.